has the right heart. We need to have a heart for the Lord, and that's our theme for 2014. Thank you, young people. You did a wonderful job. Some great songs there. Okay, Philippians chapter number 4. Someone told me that because of the weather outside not being good, I need to preach really fast. So that doesn't work, sorry. But I checked. Someone said it was, even they saw some snow and ice out there, but I looked at my phone and they said it was 43 degrees outside right now, so there shouldn't be much snow or ice there. So, we'll make sure we get done in a timely fashion here tonight. Get a little bit of a review that for those that was not here this morning, or that maybe the kids that were back in junior church or maybe somewhere else, where it's the second part of a message. The title of the message is Stewarding Our Thoughts, Part 2. Stewarding Our Thoughts, Part 2. We've been talking on Sunday morning the last few weeks that life is a gift from God. I mean, that's God is the one that is the giver and taker of life. We looked at that God's the one that opens the wombs. God's the one that can close the wombs. We looked at the fact that God can extend a life like he did for Hezekiah. God can take a life short like he did Ananias and Sapphira. The life that we have is a gift. It's a gift from God. Now, the world today, people in our country today might not value that gift, might not consider the sanctity of life as important. But you know what? The Bible says in Psalms 139, it talks about how God knew us before. God knew us while we were in the womb. He talks about Jeremiah, that before he was even in the womb, he knew him and had ordained him a prophet. Life is a gift from God. And if life is a gift from God, we began this idea and this thought that God has given you this life, this gift. He wants you to do something with it. Now, he didn't give us this gift, and we showed this from the Bible, that he didn't just give us this gift of life so we can do whatever we want. He has told us in his word we were created for his pleasure. We were created for his will, for his desires. So this life, gift of life that God's given us, he has given it to us for a purpose. I don't know about you, but maybe someone has given you a gift before. Sometimes someone will give me a gift and say, here, I want you to use this money to maybe take your wife out to eat, or I want you to use this gift to buy, say, new stoves back in the kitchen. There's sometimes people give us gifts, but they have a specific thought in mind. And when God created mankind, he didn't create it and say, okay, I'm going to create this race of people, this earth, so that way they can go and do whatever their heart desires. No, he created them for fellowship. He created them for his pleasure, for his desires. And man got off track. Man sinned in the garden, and man has come to the point where they even denied that there's even a God in existence. But if we as believers and believe that life is a gift from God, and what makes up this life is time, minutes, hours, days, months, and years, we should steward that time like we learned last week. And throughout the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at different areas of our life that we need to steward. You say, what's a steward? A steward is a person who spends with investment. He or she is commissioned to purposefully and wisely appropriate the resources of the master or boss. So if we are stewarding life, and in this idea, we're stewarding our thoughts, God has given us something. We have something now we need to answer to God for. We need to invest our time. And I'm here to tell you tonight, we need to invest our thoughts. Pastor, that's a little confusing. How can we invest our thoughts? Well, you weren't here this morning, because if you're here this morning, you would get it. But to give you a little review, God cares about what you think. God has an interest in what you put, let's go through your mind. And you know what? We go on a rampage. We could start preaching about violence in video games. We could talk about immoral thoughts and the wrong type of movies and the music and all the rebellion, all the things that are. And we could hit a lot of subjects when it comes to our thought lives. But today we are focusing on one, and that is the sin of worry. You know, that takes up most people's minds at times. And they allow worry to come and rob them from the peace of God. And in this passage of Scripture, it teaches us how we can steward our thoughts by not focusing on worry, but instead focusing on Christ. Here's a couple of verses I mentioned this morning to help you remember that God does care about what we think. The Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, that means the things that we think on, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Say, Pastor, what is the high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God? It means anything that compares to what God's level in your life is. Worry is something that you can make an idol, where you think you can accomplish something, where you begin worrying about the resources you have and your inabilities. Remember, God is the one that wants to do the work through you. He's the one that's able and capable to do all things that need to be done. And he says that, it says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you can actually take your thoughts and bring it into a captivity. You can capture those thoughts and bring it into a captivity. That's an amazing thought, because so often our thoughts are filled with, I don't know, we mentioned that worry, fear, anger, frustration, and then you even get to those parts that we know are wrong, and the immoral thoughts or the thoughts of dislike or disdain, things like that. But God says we can capture those thoughts and bring them into the obedience of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of things that can occupy our thought life. But since you, once again, as I mentioned this morning, you probably don't want to be here all night, we're going to focus and we're going to try to finish up this story or this message about worry. Worry fills our minds and hearts, and it leaves a little space for God's peace or God's power to aid us. When worry fills us, we don't have the peace of God. We don't have the power that God wants to aid us in our lives. In reality, worry is a sin. A lack of faith in God's word, worry brings a load of care that we simply are not strong enough to carry. You cannot carry worry and be pleasing to God. God is willing to carry this burden for you. And here's comes, Pastor, how in the world can I stop worrying? That's where we're at. We have four different things here in this passage of scripture that helps us release the worry. See, releasing worry is not releasing you from trouble. As I mentioned this morning, you say, I know how to get rid of my worry, fix all my problems, then I won't have anything to worry about. You know what we're going to worry about then? We're going to worry because we have nothing to worry about. We're going to find something in our minds and our hearts to worry about. Instead of saying that we're going to release our worries and we're just going to give them over to God, we're going to cast our worries on the Lord and we're going to receive His peace to face our troubles. See, when we worry, we fret that we are not enough, that our resources are inadequate, and that demands on us are overwhelming. And the truth is, we are inadequate. We are made to be dependent upon God. We have been created, and we are created to depend on Him. Just as anything that's been created, anything that has been made, a car needs a mechanic, anything that's been needs to be maintained, everything that's been created needs some type of maintaining. We have been designed by God to be dependent upon Him and to relax and rest in His strength and His ways. God is sufficient to meet our needs, and His strength is able to carry our burdens. Two things we looked at this morning is in verse number 4, and we'll read verses 4 through 9. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Verse number 4 we looked at this morning, you say, okay, how am I supposed to release my worry? How am I supposed to give my worry over to the Lord? The first thing is to rejoice in the Lord. You say, well, I would think if the first thing I needed to do is to get rid of all my problems. No, you need to get a different focus than on your problems. Verse number 4 says, rejoice in the Lord. And this is the first step in resolving your worries, to solve your problems by giving them over to the Lord. It begins by refocusing on God and the hope that God gives us and renewing our spirit. The Bible talks about renewing our mind, and it provides courage to face whatever circumstances lie ahead. See, worry is misleading. Many times people think that we are meditating and getting ready for the difficulties that we're getting ready to face ahead. We're getting ready for the possible negative outcomes. But we learned this morning, worry does not fix our problems. Instead, it takes away our strength and our focus being on God. You say, how in the world can I stop worrying and give that over to the Lord? How can I rejoice when it seems like everything is going wrong in my life? Well, the Bible teaches us that God is always good. We have something to rejoice about. God is always good. God is always present. God is always faithful. God is always greater than whatever we face. So therefore, we can rejoice no matter what we're going through. No matter what the situation is, God is always good. No matter what the situation is, God is always present. No matter what the difficulty is, God is always faithful. And God is strong enough and capable enough. He is greater than whatever we face. So the first thing, if we want to release from worry, if we want to conquer and overcome this idea of worrying, is we need to rejoice in Him. The second thing is we need to remember His presence. We talked about this morning, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Remembering God's presence gives us the opportunity to have a poise. I don't know about you, but there's been some people I've admired over the years. I've watched them face tremendous difficulties, tremendous trials, and they still love the Lord. They still want to serve. They still praise the Lord. They still rejoice. I'm not talking about some fake facade. I'm talking about they were stoic in a sense. They just kept on loving the Lord, realizing He was in control of all things. Things that would shatter some people's lives and other people's lives, you see them keep on serving and not giving up. Same instances happens in certain families. Some get up and run from church. Some blame God. Some say, this is just not fair, where others will just continue on serving, faithfully serving over and over. See, their poise, where did they get that poise from? They get the poise from what's found here in verse number 5. They always remember the Lord is at hand. Remembering God's presence gives us a poise that worry does not know. Satan wants you to think that you're a loser. Satan wants to take your faith and destroy it through suffering. God desires to refine your faith. We face moments in our lives, and we've been tempted. And I've heard people ask, where was God when this happened? They think God has forgotten them. They think God has forsaken them. And these are the moments when we begin to worry and fret. But God's face is always toward His children, and there is nothing, and we looked at that this morning, there is nothing. We went through Romans chapter 8 and looked at that. There is nothing that can separate us from His love. We can rest in His security and the fact that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And when you wait on God, when you see Him and you rejoice in Him, that He is always good, He's always present, He is always faithful, He is always able to handle all our problems. And when we focus on that and rejoice in that, and we remember God is walking through this with us, the Lord will calm our spirits. The Lord can take that worry away, because no longer is our perspective on the calamities of this world, but instead they are focused and refocused on the God that can do all things. Rest also in His sovereignty. We looked at that and had an understanding there that God, if He's in control, He's seeing all these things happen, then I can steward my thoughts. I don't need to worry about them. Okay, so now we're here to tonight's message. We're bringing us up to point number 3. There's 4 points, so we already got 2 done, and that only took 5 minutes. Great. So in the next 2 are going to take longer than 5 because you didn't hear them this morning. So, okay, number 3, we need to request His help. We need to request His help. Verse number 6, be careful for nothing. Let's look at that. And we mentioned that this morning. You take those words and you flip it around. It says, no thing. So that Bible is saying here, you should not be anxious. You should not worry for nothing. Thing, no. There is nothing that we should worry about in this world. But instead, you say, Pastor, how can I not worry about this? We're supposed to take our cares and make them prayers. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, amazing verse here. We probably can quote it, but to live it is tough. But see, we need to begin with the rejoicing in the Lord. Then we need to remember the Lord is at hand. And then when we know the Lord is by us, we need to take our concerns And it could be something small, it could be something huge, and take that care and turn it into a prayer. See, anxiety ends where faith begins. Worry ends where faith begins. Too often we chide ourselves for worry while we neglect the most powerful resource from worry's grip, which is prayer. So often we worry, and we never stop to pray. That's why I think it's amazing when Paul pens this, be careful for nothing, but he continues, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. See, the God-given release for worry. And once again, this is natural. This is normal. This is our flesh. Our flesh tells us to worry. Our flesh, the Satan brings up thoughts in our minds. Satan brings up situations and circumstances. And he says, hey, you can't handle this. But that's when we take those cares and make it a prayer. And that's when the God-given release from the burden of worry is prayer. Faith-filled prayer that is so confident in God, it even utters thankfulness with the very request. Look what it says there. It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It's saying even though you're anxious, even though you're worried, even though you're concerned, he says, not only just let your request be made known unto God, but do it with thankfulness. George Mueller put it this way, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. Faith and anxiety are not compatible, and faith is encouraged to grow when we lift our worries to the Lord in prayer and his confidence in him and his goodness. This is something we need. This is something we need to understand and we need to focus on, because we allow Satan to rob us from our power because we become worrisome, because we think it is up to us. But the Bible says we labor together with God. Now, you say, okay, Pastor, all I need to do is to just push all my emotions away. Pretend like nothing bothers us. You ever met somebody like that? You could tell all over their face, all over their body, they're upset and they're trying to cringe up. You know they're upset. That's not what it's talking about. Neither is it talking about this calm manifestation of a stoic, tight-lipped, clenched jaw resolved, I can handle it. That's not what he's talking about either. He is talking about not to ignore what you're going through. All he's asking is that you take your heavily burdened souls and just bring those to God. That's what he's saying. You will have anxiety. You will have problems. You will have things that you come across that you cannot handle. God allows that. And he says, bring them to me. He says, give them to me. I know you have them. I know that these are things that bother you. He says, give these things to me. And that's what he says, be careful for nothing. Don't let these things worry you, but instead, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, I'm glad the young people are in here tonight, because they face many times things that we've never faced growing up. I heard two people talk about how their grandchildren had anxiety attacks. And they're like 17 and 15. They're on medicine because of, you know, they're so worried about making sure they have the right grades. It seems like we're raising two different types. We're raising some young people who could care less about anything and that don't respect anything and just want a free ride. And you got other ones that are so worried that they don't want to be like the other people. They're trying their hardest and they're working. They're worried about the right boyfriend or girlfriend, which you don't need to worry about until you're ready to get married, young people. Okay, if you're not going to get married in the next year, there's no reason to be looking for a date. The reason why we date is to try to find a mate. But that's a whole other message. But they want to get in the right college, and these guys are in third grade. I got to get in the right college. They want to have the right friends. They want to be the best basketball player. There's only one Michael Jordan out there. You're not going to be the best basketball player. You just be the best you can be. And I'm not saying that we just do things nonchalantly. I'm not saying that we do things half-heartedly. The Bible doesn't say that. But the Bible says we do things to the best of our ability and leave the rest to God. But when we begin worrying because I can't do this better and I can't do that better and I can't, you know what? We're not having faith in God the way he's created us and made us. And we need to learn that we need to just give everything. And that's where it says here, it says give, in my Bible it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That means everything. When we realize that God gives us everything we have. We started at this, the most basic. We steward it. God gave us life. And that's why God says in that model prayer, he says, give us this day our daily bread. He's like, I can handle the bread part. I don't even need to ask for the bread. I can make the bread, or we can get some of the bread off on the shelf back there because I saw there was some bread back there. Bread's easy to get. Now, see, it's when we realize that bread is something that God gives us too, and that every part of our life is something that's a gift from God, and say, hey, look, if God can handle the bread, he can handle also this part and this part. Look at the good verse. He uses three separate words here when it talks about prayer. It says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This word prayer is a generic term of addressing God. It reminds us of a general action of prayer. Supplication speaks of a persistence, an urgent prayer. It implies seeking and asking and entreating. Request here is talking about actual petitions that we offer. And we could spend hours talking about this, but these three words teach us that we all need to invoke God's action by specific and consistent prayer. You know, when we make this request, we need to do it without worry. We need to, specifically, God tells us not to worry. He tells us to not allow this to self-define us, but instead cast all our care upon him. This word literally, nothing, means not even one thing we should be worried about. So there you have it, a command forbidding us even the worry of the smallest things. But how many of us really have that type of mindset? How many of us have our minds into that much faith? So that's why we got to understand this, and we got to consider what God's telling us. There's an illusion of control that will always develop anxiety. There is always people telling you that you got to fix this, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. But if we leave things in God's hands, we will realize anxiety is a form of pride, thinking what I have to do and what I can do. But instead, we need to live according to the book and allow God to take care of what he wants to do in our lives. One doctor put it this way. High adrenaline caused by overextension and stress depletes the brain's natural tranquilizers and sets the stage for high anxiety. Now, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but it's saying that stress is bad. And if you believe that you can, or should be able to work through every single situation that you enter to in your life, you're going to live with anxiety. You're going to live with stress. You're going to live with worry. There's tipping points in our life where we come to the spot and we just say, I just can't. You know what? That's true. We just can't. Life is bigger than us. Life is bigger than what we can handle. And sometimes God allows overwhelming needs so we will remember to put our trust in him. This is how God works at times. He allows things to happen so we can remember to trust in him. You say, Pastor, what am I supposed to do with this anxiety? It's easy to talk about. You know what? Just like you, when I hear these facts, I struggle with this and say, well, if I'm worrying here, does that indicate the fact that I'm not walking with God and I'm not what I'm supposed to be? And I love the fact that the Bible doesn't just tell all the good stories. I love the fact that the Bible shows that there was people who were anxious. There was people who were worried. We know about the Elijahs that were running and went underneath a tree and said, Lord, kill me. Or we think about the Marthas. Martha was really worried, wasn't she? Everything had to be just right. Everybody had to be served. And her mind was so focused. Jesus Christ was sitting at her house. She could have been learning from him, but she was so anxious and she was so worried. And this had to be this. You know what? We need Marthas in this world because they accomplish things. But we also need to understand that Marthas are missing out sometimes because they're worried about everything, and they're missing sometimes the greatest thing that's sitting right before them. But so what are we supposed to do? Well, David put it this way. A man after God's own heart says, what time I am afraid. But Pastor, you said we shouldn't be fearful of things, and we shouldn't let our mind be fearful and worried about that. We talked about that at senior luncheon. No. But when our flesh comes to us and tells us to be anxious, when our flesh comes to us and tells us to be afraid, what does David say? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. There were times when David feared. There was times when people became anxious and made wrong decisions. We are going to either waste our energy condemning the fact that we face fear and we have anxieties, or we're going to spend time looking in God's word for the answer. And God says, here's your answer. First of all, rejoice in me. Secondly, he says, remember my presence. And thirdly, he says, request my help. Now, the fourth thing I want you to think about. The fourth thing is rest in his truth. Rest in his truth. So we come to verse number 7. And there's this wonderful word here. Three words, but especially the one we focus on. And the peace of God. Now, peace is something that so many people are missing today. I said that illustration this morning that 5% of the people in the world live with severe depression, and that 25% of the people in America today either will face some type of bout of great depression that they will have to take medicine for. And that amazes me, because some of those are believers, some of those are Christians. But it doesn't surprise me, because the people I deal with and the people I talk to and people I understand what they're talking about, they allow these things to cause chaos. But here the Bible says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. See, the last thing, he not only tells you to rejoice in him, and he tells you to remember his presence, and he tells you to request his help, but he says here to rest in his truth. Say, Pastor, how can you get the peace of God there? Well, this is truth here. This is the Bible. And he says the peace of God can pass all understanding and shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus, through Christ Jesus. So what the Bible is saying here is that we can have rest. We do not have to worry. We do not have to be anxious. We do not have to be overwhelmed. That we can allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts and to rule in our minds. This is a four-step process, and it begins with us having faith. It ends with us having faith in this truth and believing it to be true. In the midst of chaos, God extends peace. This is the most needful commodity for our circumstances. We usually think our need is to change the circumstances, repair the relationship, escape from the emergency. And sometimes God does do that. But still, time and patience are often required before the answers are fully realized. What we need to look for is peace in the midst of the storm. And this is what God promises us. He says, if we'll do step 1, 2, and 3, that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, and this is when the world is going crazy and the rest of the world says, how can you just sit there and still worship God despite all these things are going on? Job's wife comes into him and says, you still got your integrity. Why don't you just curse God? She couldn't understand that the peace of God can pass all understanding. And it's amazing. You say, well, peace of God, how in the world is that available to us? Well, in Isaiah, it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And listen to his words again. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. You want to know where the peace of God comes from? It comes from remembering that he's near. It comes from rejoicing in him. It comes from asking for his help. And it's wrapped up in this verse, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Why? Because whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. When we keep our minds focused on Christ, his peace calms our souls. It steadies our emotions. And just like with the choice we have to either think with praise or to worry, we choose to praise him and we fix our minds on him and his word. You say, Pastor, you're living in a dream world. If you think I can have peace and not have anxiousness and worry just by focusing on God, that's crazy. You know what? The Bible tells us this. And the Bible even hints towards this. And he says that God is able to do great and mighty things. Think what the Bible says. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Have we ever tried it? You know, some might say, there's no way I can live without anxiety. There's no way I can live without worry. There's no way I can function without that. The Bible says he can keep you at perfect peace. The Bible teaches us to be optimists. The Bible teaches us to believe in the impossible and have faith in a God that can do abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Sometimes I think we try to limit God. If God says that he can give us the peace of God that is going to pass all understanding, he can do it. There's a story told about Adoniram Judson. He believed in God's ability. I like this story. He says he was the first foreign American missionary that went to Burma. Judson and his wife, Ann, took the gospel to Burma. But they weren't received very popular to begin with. People were not eager to hear the gospel. For 6 years, the Judsons labored, seemingly without fruit, as they had not one convert for all their effort. After 10 years in the country, they had just seen 18 people trust the Lord and follow him in believer's baptism. It was very slow going, but the couple pressed on for the Lord. But when the Anglo-Burmese War broke out in 1824, Adoniram was mistaken for an Englishman and was imprisoned in miserable and inhuman conditions. Now picture this. His ankles were tied to a bamboo pole from which he was suspended. Only his head and shoulders were remaining on the ground. Lying there in a vermin-ridden, deaf jail with over 30 pounds of chains binding his ankles, a fellow prisoner sneered, said, "Dr. Judson, what about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen?" And Judson's instant reply was that the prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. He said, the prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. And you know what? Judson's faith was rewarded. When he and Ann embarked for Burma, his goal was to translate the Bible and to plant a church, which he had hoped would grow to over 100 members before he died. And when he died, he left a translated Bible and over 100 churches with a combined total of more than 8,000 members. Indeed, tomorrow is bright. Indeed, tomorrow does have hope and light because of the promises of God. Judson believed because of God he served. His focus wasn't worried about the chains. It wasn't worried about his body. But instead, his focus was on God and what God could do. Even in the prison cell, he believed that God's promises were just as bright as when he was preaching. It's brighter. It's even the promises of God become brighter when our darkest fears are there. It's brighter than our worst rehearsed worries, and it's brighter than our present circumstances. And the reason why it's bright is because of the promises of God. And that's when you come here in verse number 7, this is a promise of God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding, which shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, really quickly, as we get ready to finish, I want you to see that phrase, shall keep your hearts. See, the guardian of our heart and mind, who is it? Is it us or is it God? God says if we will do our part and rejoice in him, if we'll remember his presence, if we will request his help, that he says that the peace of God shall keep. Now, this word keep is talking about a military type word. It talks about how he will protect it. And with unrelenting determination, the devil will do whatever it can to cause doubt and despair and frustration and fear and confusion and overwhelmed thinking, worry, desperation, and anger. He does whatever he can. But what is our promise here? Our promise is that God will keep. He will maintain. This military term talks about he shall mount a guard. God's peace is not some type of dormant asset. Instead, it's a luxury available simply to if we look to him. It's the active release of God's power to guard our minds and heart. And that's why it says, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God can do that. It's not something on our own. This is a weapon that God gives us. And he even says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. God's peace provides health and protection to our hearts and minds. So what are we going to worry about today? Are we going to worry about anything, or are we going to look to God? We must give the liberty over to God in our thoughts. Let him rule our thinking, and let him take our worries and make them prayers. The natural outcome is that God can protect our hearts and minds, but how does it happen? This morning I mentioned that our minds is probably our greatest battlefield, what we think about. I've used this illustration before. If we pulled down that screen and put up there everything we thought in the last week, I mean, wouldn't we be devastated? We'd be horrified. We'd never want to show our faces around here again, because our thought life many times is such a battlefield, such a struggle with maybe violent or immoral or just wicked thoughts. But let's not even worry about all those tonight. Let me ask you a question. Do you worry? Because the Bible says here that he's offering you peace. I know anxiety fills many people's hearts and lives. Overwhelmed and overcome, and we don't have the peace of God, we don't have the power of God, because of the fact we don't give our concerns over to him. Is your life chaotic? Is your soul stormy? Are you emotionally volatile? Are you struggling with peace? You know what? We're in a constant battle with God. But if we will learn to continually rejoice in him, keep our minds focused on him. Philippians 4:8 tells us that we can think on pure things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If we're going to steward our thoughts and say, okay, God, if you gave me the life, you gave me the brain, you gave me the opportunity to think, and this is what you want me to focus on, this is what I'm going to think on. You know what? God knows everything that we go through. He sees you. He knows you. He understands you. And I know your hearts, and many times I know the problems that you face, and they are real, they are significant, but how are we going to deal with them? Are we going to rejoice in them? Because when we rejoice, it gives a whole new perspective. Are we going to remember that he is near? Because when we remember that he is near, it refocuses us and helps us understand that we can give our request to him. He requests his help. God's saying to bring everything to him and then rest. Find assurance and find hope in the fact that God says he can give you peace. Look what it says in verse number 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now you see where it says the peace of God and the God of peace? There's a connection there. If we will learn that the God of peace can make our hearts to have the peace of God, it can change how we think. This morning when we began this two-part sermon, I told you, if you can get control over your thought life, it can change how you live. It can change your Christian life completely and totally. If your thoughts are not on the things of this world, but instead focus on God, it will change your direction. It will change the things you do. It will change the way you look at things. It will become like you're living a new life. You know, that's the life that Christ desires from you. Remember, the meditations of my, what did we learn? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Tonight, I know you face really, really, really big problems at times. But I tell you, when you focus on God, he can help you. I pray that tonight you will give some consideration and thoughts to these four things. Don't let your world become turned upside down because a struggle comes. Instead, always rejoice in the Lord. Instead, remember the Lord is always at hand. Instead, request his help. He wants you to take those anxieties and make them prayers, those cares and make them prayers, and then rest in the fact that he said you can have peace. Has peace been something that's been away from you for a long time? Most people's lives it has. But God says the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, it's what can keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.